It's a literal shocker. Two in the goo, one in the poo.
I'd like to think that I'd be able to do it, but I couldn't even have Tommy put that tampon in my ass.
You're listening to the Snoozy Podcast with
Shannon.
I don't have to ask for oral or anal because those are my only options.
Do I have to do anything gay besides getting fucking ass? Hey, what's that? The sound of Shannon talking?
Oh, what? My gosh.
Shannon got to talk.
It's been a while.
So what do you want to say?
Vote for Pedro. I got nothing to say, which is why it's just as well. But we brought somebody that is really good at talking today. So I'm excited about that. We have our old friend, Mr. Alec Vanacore.
Yeah, what up?
Hey, everybody. I'm back.
He's back.
He is.
Did that last one, was that on the thing that you guys are on now?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, you were the first one.
I think you were, yeah.
You were the maiden voyage.
That's the first virginity I've ever had.
Nice.
Ever.
Yeah.
You were born a fucking slut. So yeah, nothing.
Yeah, no, I was born. Yeah, well, I mean, like my dick was in my mom's vagina.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
I was like 17, maybe. I was a late bloomer.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm in this... Yeah, I think I was 17.
Yeah.
Close to 18, maybe.
Was it a case of you guys didn't have opportunity before that, or you just kind of chose to wait for the right moment?
Do you count me getting my dick sucked when I was five? I guess that's not virginity, though.
No, I don't count that.
You mean the first time that we had sex together, Ian and I, or you mean ever?
Just ever.
Oh. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I was a good kid for a while. I was a good kid for a while until, like, drugs. You know?
Oh, nice. So that was your slippery slope.
Courage.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I mean, to this day, we talk about it all the time. I'm not really good at reading the signals. You know, I never want to be the guy that makes the move and then gets fucking rejected. So I would just wait till it's so obvious that it's a fucking, like a layup, a slam dunk.
And even then, it's just like, I mean, I know you're touching my dick, but is this going to happen? Was that an accident?
Every single time I've said, like, I've never not been amazed. Wow, this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. Like, I'm with a girl and she's naked. I can't believe it.
The gratitude, I think, on our end is always appreciated. You know, the surprise, the shock and awe is really something that does it for us.
Really? You don't want a more aggressive, like, sure of himself, aggressive man?
I mean, yeah, we like that, but there's a lot to be said for that kind of, like, here, I'll teach you, and kind of, like, put their hand somewhere kind of thing.
Oh, that's nice.
I think.
When I lost my virginity, I was the girl I was with, she could drive and I couldn't drive yet. Right? So she was over my house and then we did it. And then I was like, you think it'd be a ride to my friend's house? I'm just gonna go hang out over there.
Seriously?
Yeah, I totally hitched a ride over. I was like, all right, see you later. That was magical.
Was it your girlfriend or just some bitch?
No, it was my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
What a dick.
I didn't even know I was being an asshole at the time.
He was done.
I was, you know, I was too high on doing it. Oh. I wasn't thinking straight.
High on doing it?
Yeah.
God, I was like 17 or 18 and she was like 16. Recently 16. Oh, man. She was like a Czechoslovakian. She was so hot.
Wow.
She was a very pretty girl. I don't know how I possibly scored that, but I did.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you friends with her on Facebook?
Nope. I don't think she exists on Facebook. I think she might have died of AIDS or something. No, I haven't seen her really online. I don't think she has an online profile.
Okay.
What were you, like 12?
When?
When you lost your consensual virginity.
14.
Wow.
14. Are we talking consensual here?
Yeah, we are now.
That changes.
14, wow.
Yeah, consent changes everything. But yeah, I was 14. I almost did when I was 13, but... It was kind of like he tried to put it in, it wouldn't go, and then it just kind of like slid up and down in the crack.
Why wouldn't it go? Was he not hard enough? Or
I was like nervous, so I wasn't like wet. And so he just kind of like tried to push, and then it slid up, and then he was like, oh, I'll just go with this for a second.
It's funny. I have a guy that I work with. We travel like around the world together, and he tells me too much information, which is amazing because I love every ounce of it. And at one point he's like, he loves bragging about fucking these hookers, but then he brags about how much lube he uses. I'm like, that's not a thing to brag about. She's repulsed by you.
Yeah.
He's all like, yo, I use like fucking a tube of lube, man. I'm like, you shouldn't need that.
That's always how I feel about the lube stuff, is when people talk about like, oh, I got this lube and stuff. I'm just like, you shouldn't need it.
Like if my wife and I are doing like a quickie and we're not going to do anything else, I'll put some lube on. I don't want to have to even think about it. I want it in and out. Not even a lot. Like a little dab. A little dab will do you. A little dime-sized fucking speckle on the head.
Why not just spit on it and then like...
You know what? I'd rather... like I'll maybe spit into my hand and put it on my dick. I don't want to spit on her vagina. It seems weird.
It just works better that way.
I don't want to do that.
You know, I think it's gross.
Are you a vagina
spitter? Imagine a whole... Yeah, sure. But imagine like a whole tube of lube. On anything, that's so much lube.
It's unnecessary.
That's yeah, you so can't much even feel lube. It at that point. There's
it's
just
like
no
your
friction.
Puddle splashing.
Yeah. I try to tell them that.
That's a mess.
Just put on your galoshes.
I sort of politely try to tell them, like, first of all, I don't need to know that. But secondly, like, it's not a point of bravado. You're gross.
How big? I mean, does he specify what size the lube container is?
Yeah, I don't think he. I mean, he has.
Is it one of those little sample ones that you like twist the top off? Like, there's so many questions now.
Most times they're Asian women because we're over in Asia and like they're just tiny. You know, I don't think his dick is that big, but I think it's they're Asian, so it's you know by proxy
and sideways.
And sideways, I've witnessed right? that.
Wait, what do you mean? He's sideways?
No. But
well, you're half Filipino, supposedly, right?
Yeah,
supposedly.
No, my vagina's normal.
Yeah, no, I really believed that for a while, the whole sideways
no,
pussy
fuck
thing.
Out of here. One thing I have noticed in the two Asian women that I've had sex with, that there was like a, I think I've tried to explain this before, like once I was in, there was this like second like thing that I had to get through. Like it felt like a band. It felt like a lap band or something. Like I got in.
Towards the bottom?
Toward like the middle.
Like a second vagina?
Like inside the vagina.
I don't want to say a second vagina, but yeah, like it's like, okay, I'm in and now I'm in again. It was
it's like when you go to a butterfly house and there's like the little like in between doors that you have to go through to make sure there's not like a butterfly on you.
I wish I was better at explaining things because it's a real thing that I can't put words
like
through.
The reverse of the aliens from Alien where like they open their mouth and another mouth comes out. But
yes.
But this one she spreads, there's a vagina and then there's
yes.
another one waiting.
Yes.
There.
One of the girls I dated, and it was like every time I felt this like maybe just because it was super tight. Maybe that's what it was, but
yeah.
And it was. She was like half Korean, half Caucasian. And then the other girl was, I don't know what she was, some kind of Asian, and she was sleeping.
Well, I don't know. Anything I'm going to say right now is probably gross, which is just...
We don't want to, you know, make it unlistenable.
No, we certainly wouldn't. For anybody. But yeah, no, there's something that kind of happens. I'll fucking say it anyway, because I just don't care. But like, if a girl has... to like poop maybe or like you're
every time
or you're a little constipated, like sometimes it like puts this pressure down like in the middle where it's kind of like they go up against that like tightness and then have to like kind of get through it.
Like,
I know that's
through
really
the shit wall. Is that what
so,
it is?
So all the Asians you had sex with had to shit.
It's all that rice. It binds you up.
It's been two. One of them
the only
I
thing
you
more
know,
bound up than their feet are their fucking colons.
I just know, like, I've had, you know, enough sex where the two Asian vaginas, in a very relatively indescribable way, did feel different.
You sure it wasn't the same one?
It was not the same
you
one.
You just didn't confuse it because, you know, we
now,
look alike.
Now that I think about it, they did not look alike.
No,
oh,
no.
God, they did not look alike at all. But it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
I've never even been attracted to Asian women. Because the only Asian women I know is my mom and my sister. So I always think it's kind of weird.
Half Asian. Well, your mom's Asian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And your
yeah.
sister is obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It's never.
That's
been
one
a
thing,
thing
like,
for me.
I've always said, like, I was talking to a woman last night where she just mentioned, like, oh, yellow fever. And I'm like, well, I just like hot chicks. Black, white, Latin, Asian. Like, hot is hot. Like, I don't care. But, you know, clearly I have cousins and I have a couple of friends that love Asian chicks. You know,
yeah,
I just love hot chicks. I just love hot chicks. I mean, are you like averse to Asian chicks or
no? Like,
hot's
I'm not like
right?
scared of them or
right.
anything, but it's just never like, ooh, look at that Asian.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
like, ooh, you might be like my cousin. You know,
he doesn't. Right.
I feel like it goes kind of like either extreme with a lot of guys that I'm friends with that talk about such things. Like, guys are either really into that where they're like all about it, or they're kind of like, it's not really like my thing. Which is funny because it's like very specifically an Asian thing. I never hear guys talk that way about Latinas or black women or white women. Like, it's kind of an Asian thing for that, where it's like all or nothing.
To me, it's strictly hot and not hot. That's it. I don't think I've ever really had a delineation outside of that. Like, I don't give a fuck. You know,
we're just a hot people.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's it. That's it. And Filipino, like, I grew up when I grew up in Queens, there were a very heavy Filipino population, relatively, and all were hot. God damn, the Filipino women are fucking gorgeous. And guys, hey, look, we have one here.
Yeah.
No, Alec is a real looker.
They were all so hot. And didn't care shit about me at all. It didn't matter.
They're already in the country. They've got no use for you.
It's funny how much they care when they're trying to get you to rescue them from their indentured servitude.
Fucking whores. I dated a Colombian girl in high school, and her father just, like, a lot of times ethnic people don't want their daughters with white guys. I didn't get that. Like, isn't that their way out?
Yeah, no. From what I've heard, a lot of times in this country anyway, Asian parents want their Asian daughter to marry a white guy to, like, assimilate, and then they don't want their Asian sons to marry white
people. Because they have opinions.
Yes,
because, I mean, Asian women traditionally are known as subservient, especially the Japanese culture or whatever. They're just known as very catering to the male. I've seen it, like, at least in my travels, which those are in the service industry, frankly. But that's...
I'm just doing my job.
That's it. I'm just a paying... Like, I tell my wife, I'm just a paying customer. There's nothing else to it.
It's like stopping at a deli for a sandwich, really, you know?
It'd be a sin not to contribute to their economy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, go ahead. You get to talk. What do you want to talk about? There's a story you wanted Alec to tell.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but...
I want to hear about when Alec was in a barbershop quartet.
You sang?
I did. I sang.
You still sing?
I could sing. I can sing sometimes. You know, I was in all county chorus a couple times. Yeah, I was a kid. We were mostly in the South. My dad was in the Navy, and his music's like really big there. So I was in the band. I played clarinet, and I sang chorus.
Are you like a baritone or?
I guess like a tenor. I guess around there.
Wow.
I mean, I could alto. I probably couldn't baritone.
Any requests? Like, can you think of anything you want to hear?
Can you sing, like, off the top of your head?
You tell me. I say it's gonna be good?
No. Can't Keep My Hands to Myself by Selena Gomez.
Do you know that one?
Oh, does he know that one?
Can't keep my hands to myself.
That's it.
No matter how hard I'm trying to. I want you all to myself. Your metaphorical gin and juice.
I just came.
That's it. That was good to talk about.
Does she say your metaphorical gin and juice? She says that? Yeah, what? That's awful.
Well, she's educated.
Ugh. Wow. I mean, I've heard that song a couple times in bars and watched people dance, but, like, that's what she says?
She does. Retarded. She does.
Wow. Good for her.
And the more retarded part is she didn't even write that.
Of course not. Some middle-aged man did. Some middle-aged white guy.
Yeah.
But he's probably thinking about her when he did it.
Somebody paid someone else a lot of money to write that, who's now getting royalties every time it plays on the radio or gets downloaded. That's the worst part. That's
ridiculous. Metaphorical gin and juice?
I know. I'm in the total wrong arena. What does that even mean?
Like, you get me intoxicated, I guess? Like,
yeah. I think the song is actually a metaphor for drugs.
So it's not about fucking...
Well, yeah, because it's like all of the downs and the uppers.
Yeah.
But
I gotta listen again. I've never really listened. I've heard it.
Yeah. Well, Selena Gomez works on a lot of levels. It's important you know that.
Yeah, I like me some Selena.
She's pretty.
You know what though? But she's pretty, but she looks so young. Like, you know that she's, you know, she's an adult, but she has like adult body, child face.
Isn't that perfect?
It just makes you feel like.
Would you fuck her?
Like, it's like. Like right now?
Of course he'd fuck
Selena. No, in general. Like, she's legal. I mean, you don't care that she has a young face, right? I mean,
here's the thing.
What if I just wanted to make a love to her?
That's what I meant. But metaphorically, fuck her.
He wants her metaphorical gin and juice. So when you say things like that, though, it's kind of like, even if you didn't find her attractive, any guy would probably still fuck her because she's Selena Gomez. It's a question of if you just saw her out at a bar and she wasn't famous, would you want to fuck her?
She's gorgeous.
No, but...
Okay, then here, based on what you're saying, let's find the line.
Yeah.
Let's find a famous person that...
That you'd fuck them because they were famous.
Or that you wouldn't fuck. They're so hideous that you still wouldn't fuck them.
Oh, okay.
Like you wouldn't star fuck
like Queen Elizabeth or... I mean, what's the line of where, okay, it's not worth the story even... You know, like, what's that?
Now, do you imagine any amount of money or fame coming with it, or no. It's just the story?
Like, Lena Dunham. Would you fuck Lena Dunham?
Hey, which one's that?
The one from Girls.
What show's that? I don't have cable.
She's not going to know. She's a heinous.
Someone from Basic Cable. They call it Basic Cable for a reason. They're all like that.
It's going to be hard.
I don't know. Or a singer?
Like, I'd probably...
Would you fuck Adele?
Yeah.
Why not, right?
I would. Well, I would because then she'd write a song about missing me.
But not just that. She really, her face is beautiful and she has lost weight
too.
She looks
good.
So it's like, she really is just like a thick, good looking
girl. She's a regular woman.
Yeah. Plus she's talented. Yeah. And she seems like she's kind of funny. Like she's kind of like Rebel Wilson.
Every song does sound kind of the same. Kind
of. That could be said.
It's all the same theme. It's just this, she feels bad about not being with some dude.
Right.
She talks like she's like 70.
Right.
Like looking back
on things.
She's
an old soul.
Yeah, like she's looking back on like the last 2 years. Calm down, Adele.
Yeah, like I just really want to hear her do like a cover of some like, you know.
Upbeat.
Like Camel Toe by Fanny Pack or something like that, you know. That's what I really want.
I think she was in one of those like karaoke car ride things where she's rapped or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. So she's been a little playful at times.
Yeah.
I met a celebrity tonight, actually, at Laugh It Up. When we were doing that roast
thing.
I
don't count.
No, you know, aside from the regulars. The regular celebrities, you know. I was upstairs because of this that thing we were doing, the roast thing.
Fucking in the elevator.
I got out on the fourth floor and there's a guy there named Doobie.
That black
Dupes.
Dude.
Yeah. Apparently he was in the group that did the parody of Scrubs.
Okay.
You remember that song?
The TLC
yeah.
song?
Yeah, the TLC.
Yeah,
they were the ones that they did the pigeon one.
No
and
kidding.
He's in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now he's in my
birthday
video.
How did that come up?
We talked about it.
They had to wait for the elevator to come down for a while.
You give me like 5 minutes with someone, they'll tell me everything. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's my face or
why don't you try and dissect each of us then?
Wait,
literally.
Yeah. I'd be very curious about that. Not even
how much
like,
dissection do you need though? You're just you've said it all.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't pull
no,
it
I was,
out of
I was
them.
More
they
curious,
it.
Like yeah, like
it.
The line of questioning that you do to kind of get people to open up. Like maybe not 5 minutes each, but like in a minute, how much information can you pry out of us?
Mostly, what I do is they'll say something and I'll nod my head and be like, "Oh man."
You're like one of those old-timey therapists that just doesn't answer. It just
sits
there, like, writing and not looking at them so they feel like they have to talk
or
to fill the silence.
Maybe it's just so rare that someone these days listens that they're just willing to keep talking because he seems like he's listening.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll make eye contact with anybody. Like, I think that's part of it, too. Like
the anti-Dalton.
Yeah.
I'm going to look right in your eyes, and then I feel like people, then they're just like, oh, now I have to talk.
No, I don't talk about it much, but I often feel like you're boring into my soul. You know, I wasn't sure if that was just something that I noticed, but I guess that's a thing, so I don't feel very special anymore.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sure you're special. I'm sure you're special.
Probably.
Totes special.
I do that, like I notice in the street, like mostly, of course, we've been over this, I think women, like they won't look you in the eye more than a second. Is it a safety issue? I don't know. It's like no one wants to like make eye contact in the street. I try to
It's a give combination a
nice nod.
Thing.
Well, how are you like
no,
like
I'm just regular guy,
them,
usually in a shirt and tie at work, walking down Main Street, like, hey, bitch. I don't say that. I just, with my eyes, I say, hey, bitch.
We're kind of taught by our families, society, like, there is that kind of, like, but you're a girl.
Don't open the door.
And so, yeah, it's about, like, keep your head down, try and go unnoticed, and then...
You've been great at keeping your head down.
In all the wrong places. But, no, I think it's a safety issue where... You don't want to make eye, even at like a party with people you know, there are people you don't want to talk to. So you're not going to, you're going to try and avoid eye contact.
A lot of times dudes do see that as the opening.
But when it's a guy that you're attracted to, whether you know him or not, you tend to avert eye contact because whoever breaks eye contact first, like if you're trying to make eye contact with him and he breaks it, it feels like rejection.
Hmm.
or like he's turning his attention away from you. So I think girls also, when they are kind of into a guy in some way, will like kind of look and then like do that shy, like look down because...
So all these women like me, is that what you're saying?
Or are threatened by you.
Terrified. Or the more than
likely
terrified.
I'd have to be there to see
right,
it to
right.
give you a breakdown. I mean, these are things that I feel like people pick up vibes.
It just seems also like people don't want to be bothered. Like, yeah. Oh, this motherfucker might talk to me. Let me just beeline out of here. Yeah.
Well, it's considered rude in a lot. Not that you do it in a rude way, but like I think if you're riding the subway or like various
things.
Well,
you're staring at people
yeah.
at that point.
I think yeah, if you make eye contact with strangers, it's considered rude and intrusive somehow yeah. in today's society.
Especially if you got like a newspaper on your lap and you're like.
And it's
little.
Going up and down a little.
Yeah, they get so weird. Right? Yeah. They get so weird about it.
It's like, if you want to look at me, just follow me on Instagram. Like, look at my eyes there.
So am I supposed to teach my daughter? I mean, I've got plenty of morals to teach my daughter and advice. But, like, should she not make eye contact with dudes? Is that a thing?
Here's what you should think about. If it was your daughter, you know, say in her early 20s, late teens, and she's walking down the streets of Poughkeepsie, mm-hmm. or she's... you know, outside of a club late at night or whatever the situation is, walking home on the college campus, if she's passing people, particularly men, should she make eye contact or should she keep her head down? What would you want her to do?
My head down.
I mean, in a perfect world, but yeah, in reality, like, dudes are fucking pathetic. And like any, like even at the club or anywhere I see them, it's like any little thing that can get them in or closer to pussy. Yeah. They're going to do it.
And even
so.
Not of a sexual nature, but just like muggings or, you know, whatever it may be. There's all kinds of danger out there. And I think with girls particularly, we're taught somehow to kind of, you know, try and curl up into a little ball and just roll down the street like an armadillo.
That's my normal fighting style. I don't know if it's just a girl thing. That's what I do. Roll up.
It's the intention behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of armadillo are you?
Like a Texas armadillo, I guess. One time I was...
The syphilitic kind. Or no, what is it? They have leprosy.
Armadillos?
Yeah, they carry
Did
leprosy.
Did not know that.
No, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, well, now you know. Don't go touching those armadillos.
I was in Florida one time, and on the side of the highway, I saw a homeless guy chasing an armadillo. Like full on chasing with his hands.
That's
down.
How they
like
got. That's how they got the leprosy.
Armadillo. Yeah.
What was he trying to do with it? Was it,
I don't
his,
know.
Was
I
it
mean,
his
I'd
armadillo?
Eat it. What else is a homeless guy? He's gonna fuck it and then he's gonna eat it, or
what
reverse,
do.
Whatever. You know, everybody's different.
That's why I don't give them food when they ask for money because I'm
armadillos.
That, no homeless people because I'm worried they're gonna fuck my sandwich and then eat it, and I don't want to put my sandwich through that.
Yeah, we were just over this at the club where, like, at the Laugh It Up open mic, there's, like, this one. And I see him at work. He walks around.
He's doing the homeless thing.
He's like, I'm doing the homeless thing. And then he shows you his bullet wound.
Oh, bullet guy, yeah.
Although, and I mean, he's not going to sue me for defamation of character if I'm wrong. I saw an article through, like, PDH or Poughkeepsie Journal, and it was, like, a warning that a bunch of people were posting on Facebook about a guy who, the reason he's homeless in Poughkeepsie is because he's, like, you know, class 4, like, sexual predator, you know, like, and he's a registered sex offender, and that's how he's homeless. And they showed the picture, and I swear it's that guy.
Wow.
So I'll find that article during the next break and show you guys if you can recall what he looks like.
I see him every day. I know what he looks like.
Okay, so we'll source that out.
Do they show the bullet wound? Because I'm always so transfixed upon it.
No one says that it's a kid that shot him. Like, no one even talks about that.
Has anyone seen the bullet wound? Have you guys seen the bullet wound?
Yeah, he's pulled the shirt down, and it's never like... bleeding or anything. It just
But he always
scratch.
Says like it happened a couple
right.
days
right, right,
ago.
Right, right, it just happened or whatever. Right.
Do you think before he goes around asking
he's
for
like
money,
a
he's
just
fucking
cuts
the
himself,
other day.
Stabs himself
like a wrestler with
the
fucking
it.
with a blade.
He just puts a sharpened toothbrush end into it.
Like he has a toothbrush.
Like he has a toothbrush.
Come on. Probably doesn't have a
toothbrush. And he's a dick. Like twice this happened.
Yeah, no, he's an asshole.
And the most recent time I was walking toward Dunkin' Donuts by my office and he talked to me and I was on my cell phone and maybe like a dick I said, "Yo, I'm on the phone." And then he turns around and goes, "What? What'd you say?" I'm like, "I said I'm on the fucking phone." And then he kind of backed off.
Mahoney's is always where you decide to just get gully.
This was by by the Civic Center.
Oh.
But I'm ready to throw down. I don't give a fuck. I'll beat up a kid or a homeless guy.
You got your flippy hair.
I mean,
you're ready for
anything. You get shot and you live to ask for money later. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, nobody's scared of 50 Cent. He got shot 9 times.
I'm kind of scared of him. I don't want to fight that guy. That guy's huge.
I ain't fighting 50 Cent.
I wouldn't even want to be in the same room. No. I don't like, I mean, people that big, they're that ripped. I don't even like being like near them.
It makes us feel like shit. Like, that's what a human can look like.
Now you know how girls feel just around every time they're
anywhere
with some fit bitch.
I always love when like an average to below average girl is the hottest girl in a room. And like
my wheelhouse.
What I compare it to.
So I only hang out with guys.
You watch sports like NBA or basketball?
I mean,
when the coach gets kicked out of the game and the assistant coach gets to hold the clipboard, that's the regular chick when the hot chicks aren't there.
Yeah.
I get to hold the clipboard now. I'm the boss, son.
I always just strive to be the most beautiful girl in the room.
And no one hates a pretty girl more than other girls.
Oh, absolutely.
You see it. Yeah. Like guys look at bitches, but not as much as bitches look at bitches.
Yep.
No, they'll find anything to complain about them. I was at my ex-wife at a place, and this waitress came up. She was like crazy hot, but she had like a really high-pitched voice. So as soon as she leaves, she's like, "You know, why are you faking that voice? Your voice doesn't really sound like that." She's just doing that to look better,
right?
Like, yeah, that voice is totally making her look better. Like the one part that makes me want to rip my eyeballs out and stab her.
That's how girls pick their best friends. Is like which girl when you show like a picture of like your boyfriend's ex-girlfriends or whatever. Well, just like it could be the hottest Victoria's Secret model, and they'll be like, her chin is atrocious. Right.
But the thing is, guys, it's weird. Like, guys do that too, where if you're sitting around with, like, you know, regular dudes, like schlubs like me, you're handsome. Right.
You guys are both handsome.
No,
guys.
I'll hear my male friends, like, critique women. And I'm like, who do you think? You couldn't get that woman. Like, oh, she has a fucking, like, you know, crooked toenail. You couldn't have her. She wouldn't fuck you.
I remember.
Not even close.
An ex-boyfriend's best friend who I hated. He was this fat, ugly, miserable.
She's
going to
fuck him by the end of the story, I guarantee
you. No. But he was just like one of those completely disgusting pieces of shit. And he was like a shitty person too, where it was like, you have no right to be this shitty.
Right.
You know, like you say you this for like Brad Pitt or Johnny Depp, like shit. No, you deserve to just be a humble sweetie pie that's going to want to like rotate my tires. And he was an awful douche. And it was during the time that like that Alanis Morissette thank you video was out where she was like naked. And he was like ripping her apart about being fat. And this guy's like 280, you know, and like fugly and just shit. Yeah. And he's like sitting there getting on her. He's like, put some fucking clothes on. Like nobody wants to see that. It's right. I got like so irate, like I fucking like came out of my tree over that, which is rare. And it was just like, who the fuck
are
you?
That's the whole it's a man's world thing. Cause like women really have to be perfect and dudes have to be funny.
Yeah. It's just like Kevin James in every movie ends up with some skinny, hot, blonde model.
Every Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
All the, like Seth Rogen or Adam Sandler. Like
Melissa McCarthy isn't ending up with Bradley Cooper at the end of a movie.
Nobody would watch that. It's not funny. It's not realistic.
Exactly.
Every guy we know just about has like a hotter girl or wife than they are. If you're a 7 as a guy, you're getting a 9.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a 9 as a girl, well, then you might get a rich 10. But like,
yeah, it's literally you're like a currency exchange between countries.
A woman that's a 5 is almost never going to have a 9 guy.
You guys have like the fucking euro right now, and we're still working with the American dollar in 2016.
That's right. You guys just invented the wheel. Like you just discovered the wheel now, today, like this morning.
Yeah, we're rocking Bitcoins. He's a Confederate.
Good
currency.
Luck with that.
Non-traceable.
Oh, my God. But yeah, that's the life
we
lead.
It really sucks to be a woman. It just does.
Yeah. I'd take $3 less an hour if we could just even that shit out. You know?
Right. Priorities. Beyond even that, it's like, even just in every relationship that I've seen or had, like women are so annoying, but sensible.
Mm-hmm.
And we just fuck it up. Like, you guys know what should be done and how to do it, and we just don't listen and make it harder for you because you have to clean it up in the end anyway.
Exactly.
How
and then deal
must
with
be
you being a whiny little, like, ego-bruised bitch about it.
Exactly. It just sucks. It's just not fair, but I'll take the blowjobs and
sandwiches.
And that's it, and sandwiches. Look, I mean, we were just talking with Monty. He was saying, like, we talk about homeless people, you know, outside of the bar. I guess it's hard. Like, are you supposed to feel bad for your privilege? I was saying to Monty, I'm a white guy born in New York City. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Like some kid that's born in Ethiopia or even Alabama. They lose.
I always think that.
Do you feel bad though?
Every time I really just like start getting like privileged, basic first world problem shit,
right.
Like small, human-minded.
My boots aren't in my size on this website. Like,
you were born
right.
white in America, in New York right. in America.
That's exactly.
And it's like, other people are still like, they just invented those fucking rolling wheel right. type of things for the water. So these bitches don't have to carry it on their heads.
But there are people like in wheelchairs. There are people that just all kinds of tough fucking living. Yeah. But
people in barbershop quartets.
It's a perspective thing though.
It's all relative to what you see. Right.
Cause if your life is always awesome, you know, something minorly shitty to everyone else happens. It still might be the biggest thing
right.
you've ever dealt
with. In your
with.
World, right.
And like, then the funny
are you still a piece of shit? Yeah. But, you know, that's all it is.
But, like, there's always a scale down. So, like, you know, the homeless guy that I don't give money to might think I'm a fucking, you know, stuck-up, unsupportive or benevolent, caring guy. But then I might see the guy with the Ferrari. There's always someone ahead yep. and behind
They'll
you.
Always be greater and lesser than.
Are you supposed... I don't know. To be honest, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. And you could be Einstein, but if you're at a party with fucking Gary Cooper or whoever of the time, you're gonna feel like a piece of shit because you aren't as attractive as that person, or like you can't sing or you can't dance or you can't, you know, whatever it is.
Alec can sing and dance. And
I know he's
both.
A triple threat.
He really is.
I can't
he's
dance,
funny
so I do like dancing.
No, you can dance.
Thanks.
You can dance
if you want to.
He's a friend of mine.
Thank God.
I wonder who looks at Bullet Wound Guy is like, man,
wish
that
I were
guy's
him.
Got everything.
I'm
like, who's
right,
the guy
right.
that he snubs?
Who's the guy Bullet Guy snubs? Maybe Knife Wound Guy? Like a, I don't know, a homeless woman with baby in Hong Kong? I mean,
and that's what you were saying. Ian's like, you know, I was in Hong Kong, gang prostitutes, and there's this lady.
I didn't say that, but he's right.
But there's a lady sitting there with a baby.
Outside a club.
Outside yeah. of a club.
It's probably and just holding it for the prostitute
well,
he's bagging.
No, you know, I did. This woman was holding a baby laying in the street outside of a club. And what got me worse was that everybody was just partying around her. They didn't care. Now, I get it. Like, they're probably, who knows if she's there every night. But it's like, I ended up going home to my hotel and not having fun because I was like, this is a downer. I can't believe, like, the humanity of it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
Did I do anything to help her? No, I didn't. But fuck, man, like.
But the real villain here is the lady with the baby.
No doubt.
Because you know people are there to have a good time. Why are you going over there?
You know, you're really just a Debbie Downer at that point, yeah. and you're being selfish.
Yeah, it's really selfish for her and the kid.
Go beg by the train station or Mahoney's, like, you know, right? a normal person would do.
Yeah, or at least somewhere where you would get stuff. You know that the people going out to the club don't care about you.
And if they can teach those Asian babies in the
beggar.
Orphanage to stop crying, you can certainly do it out on the street.
I wonder if there's even a psychology behind what she did. But, I mean, is there a certain thing where it's like maybe people out having a good time can reflect for a second? But they're
I
not
think
gonna.
You're gonna want to put yourself around people for safety reasons, you know, like some creep guy that wants to like murder your baby and rape and murder you. Like, you're less likely to have that happen if you're putting yourself somewhere where people are passing and are hanging around often. So that if I were in that position, that would be my thought: is put yourself where people are just for safety.
But I wonder what percentage of, like, I guess homeless people, it's their fault. Like, they had a fair shake and they fucked up. Drugs, whatever it is. Pedophilia, like you said.
Yeah.
I don't
or
know what
bipolar.
That is.
A lot of bipolar people, vets with PTSD,
why can't they be
where
like,
it's like, you're crazy. Your family eventually.
But shouldn't they be in a shelter then?
Does that well, there's only so much space. And then also, I mean, if you're in the mind frame where you want to be homeless because you don't want to deal with society, then you're there because you want to be there.
And wow. a lot of the people that are suffering from those mental conditions, that shelter is going to force you to go into a psych unit, you know, to get help. Or if you're addicted to drugs, you're going to want to stay on the street scrounging for drugs as opposed to going into detox.
Have you guys yeah. known anyone that's been homeless?
Yes.
Both of you have.
And you one guy.
I don't think I ever really have. Was it like legit like poverty?
Well, actually, no, I know two.
Like drugs? What was the deal?
Well, there's one guy I knew. I don't know the deal because I didn't talk too much because he smelled a lot. But this guy,
I didn't get close enough.
When I was a teenager, I played music. Like I was in a punk rock band. And
was this before the barbershop quartet?
This is after. Past this is after. During and after
Jesus
the barbershop
wow.
quartet. I was
Your
a busy
life.
Guy. I was a busy guy. But so like there was this kid,
man.
Homeless Dan, that we met. Yeah, we met him at a show.
What else would you call him?
And then you just started like hanging out, and we're like, oh, he's an all right guy. And
he
then
was your age, like your peer?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. He was homeless. The homeless years are different than people years.
That's a good point.
Because they're hard years. But he
was six.
Looks like he'd been rode hard and put up wet.
But he would just follow us places, and then like my best friend's mom kind of like pulled me in on this dude because she was like, listen, you can't just bring this homeless guy to everyone's house. You don't know if he's going to take stuff or what he's going to do, and he smells bad. And I was like, man, he does smell bad. He made the furniture smell bad. It was horrible. It was terrible.
Fucking asshole.
I mean, I hope right now he's listening to this and maybe he made something of himself.
So you don't know why he was just homeless. You don't know why.
I think he was just a dick. I think he was just a teenager who didn't want to deal with stuff.
Well, there was a whole segment homeless. Of people when I went to school in New Paltz down there that were just gutter punks, that they were just these fucking, like, you know, fist up in the air, like, revile society. But yet, they still asked us for money. And they had, like, dogs and shit. Like, fuck you.
That's because there's a subsect of, like, the gutter punk, crust punk scene where they're really, like, kids from, like, all right, decent. Yeah. A lot of times,
Long Island
families.
They don't work. Where it's just
I don't
like,
want to work either. You think I want to work?
On the weekends, they just don't shower.
Yeah.
And go. I mean, it's not all of them. There's some legit ones, but, you know.
But then they were like kids when I went to college, and I don't know what it's like now, but like they were these sort of crusty, like earthy, hippie chicks, like, you know, patchouli oil and whatever. But like their parents would drop them off at school in Range Rovers.
To me,
they didn't have to do that.
Those people, in my mind, aren't really homeless. They're like outdoorsmen, you know, temporarily.
But they're asking for money.
Because
that's what they've been doing their whole life.
But ultimately, they could go to a phone and they could call
daddy,
home
right.
And daddy would wire you as much money as you needed or come out and get you. That's not really homeless. You've made a choice. All the people that I knew that were homeless, it was like there wasn't a choice.
Like,
you know?
Something unrecoverable.
What
from
sort
that.
Of?
Like one girl, when I was 15, I guess, and no, I was 16, she was 15 or something like that, but somehow through friends that had kind of like helped her out, I met her and she was from Florida. I guess it was like, you know, abusive stepdad and fucked up drug addled mom. And like she ended up getting some like 20 something year old boyfriend, you know, and like the parents like kicked her out and she
had nowhere to go.
Yeah, she took off to New York. The boyfriend ditched her part of the way, and then she had to like blow truckers the rest of the way. She ended up at like Green Chimneys over in Putnam and then like ran away from there. And it was just like, because they were going to try and send her home. And it was like a whole situation. And she eventually ended up getting murdered by a
what?
Truck driver a couple
what?
Years
dick
later.
In mouth.
Yeah. Did they catch a truck driver?
I don't know, but
I think he runs a show in New Jersey.
Yeah. And then I've known other people that because they were bipolar and had been in and out of institutions and alienated every family and friend that they had,
Jesus.
They ended up, you know, in shelters and on the streets. And then other people because of like heroin addictions, they would be stealing from their family and friends every time they let them in the house. So eventually everyone locked them out. And
so they were
just
sleeping in the street.
Yeah.
Because you got nowhere else to go.
So those are the situations
break all your ties.
Fuck.
That are homeless,
right,
like
right.
to me.
Yeah.
Where it's not like you're just some kind of
couch
ultimate
surfing or,
hippie
yeah,
hipster,
right.
you know, trying to rebel against
point.
Buffy and Roberto.
My ex-wife's little brother went homeless for a while. And he had a whole plan for it. And it was actually kind of an ingenious plan. Like he was wanting to like live out in a, you know those tents that you hang up, the little hammock things that you
yep.
like go into, like a, I don't know, like some kind of chrysalis, like you're gonna become
yeah.
a beautiful butterfly after being homeless. He had one of those, and then he got a membership to a gym so that he could shower and
mm-hmm.
stuff and have a
Smart.
Locker to keep his clothes in.
Yep.
And he went like that for a while, but the very first day that he was like officially homeless, he like went to a park and slept during the daytime and just got like the worst sunburn.
And
planet.
Went back home.
And they were just like, all right, stay home for a while.
What
do you guys
his
have any organic aloe?
What was his plan? Did he have a, what was he going to eat? Did he have money?
Well, he had a job.
So
he just didn't, he didn't want to have a place.
Right.
He didn't want to have to like pay rent.
Okay.
Stuff, so he could just do
Can
whatever.
You just put your chrysalis anywhere though?
No. He got caught by the cops like over by like, I don't
That's
know, some
a
woods near a mall. Like there's very specific places you're allowed to be.
To squat or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's easier in the city, but where are you going to hang up your
Again, outdoorsman by choice, I
yeah.
say.
Yeah, that clearly is a life choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was exactly.
Into the Wild, that movie mm-hmm. where he ends up, I guess, dying. Spoiler alert, we all do die, though. I guess he just, like, you know, just denounced society and became just primordial. And Eddie Vedder did write the soundtrack
I think that was part of it for him, too. You know, it was kind of like a break from the norm.
And good for him.
Yeah.
Now, especially if you're young, why not?
Yeah. This is why people shouldn't let their kids listen to Pearl Jam.
That's right. I'm very, very much living proof of that.
And on that note, let's take a little break.
We'll see you soon. And we're back. So,
as always,
we're back, but we've never left. But we have two interesting Alec Vanacore stories that we're going to have to listen to unfold here.
I know. I've been dying.
Which one do you want first, Shannon?
I want to know about the backyard wrestling.
I was a backyard wrestler in my teenage days when I was in high school. Going to Florida. I don't know if you guys know about Florida, but it's like a little village off of Warwick. I graduated a class of like 30 people. But
Florida, New York.
Oh, yeah, Florida, say.
New York. Right, yeah, right. I have heard of that. No. Yeah, but we had a backyard wrestling league. There was a guy that was taking wrestling classes, and then he would come to us, and we'd do like workshops on the moves. Like we would all be in disguise.
Like when that one friend takes karate.
And yeah, he exactly. would teach you this bastardized version.
Like 10 dudes doing sunset flips on each other over and over again to get it right. Like,
we can only afford one Rosetta Stone, Sven. So,
but it worked. So then we would put on shows at this kid's house, and we like stole some bleachers from somewhere and put them out for people to sit on. And like half the school would come to see it, which was only like 60 people.
Well, yeah, because only half the school could fit the school after you stole half the bleachers.
Yeah.
Did you guys have like storylines and?
Oh yeah. I was my character. I played two characters. And I was in a tag team called the Asian Invasion.
Of course.
And I was Hung Lo.
Yes.
And my partner was Long Wang.
Can you describe the outfits you would wear?
I'd wear like a red headband.
Like a sushi chef.
Like I wore scrubs. Is what I wore because it was the closest thing to like a kung fu gi that I had because it had like a v-neck on it.
Oh my god.
And then the other guy, like he would Long Wang was always played by a different wrestler. Like
was
every
it always
time.
A white guy or something?
Yeah, because there's no other Asian.
Right.
But he wore a mask. But every time it was a different person. So every time you saw him, he's like big, short, fat, like skinny. Like it was, I don't know. But we were the backyard champions for a long time until we got taken down by I can't remember the tag team name, but it was a gentleman by the name of Major Wood. he was tagged with the Dublin Destroyer.
But it was staged. Like you gave the belt up because it was time to lose.
Yeah. We practiced everything. It went through.
Had you done like backflips off the top of the house and shit?
I never did any backflips off the top of the house. But the guy that was going to the classes and stuff, he did do like a flip off the top of a ladder. I believe a swanton bomb.
Right. Yeah. I know what that is. I
onto
think
someone.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
I was BJ though.
My finishing move.
I was going to say, what's your signature move?
It was the touch of death for that character, which was just me making a weird finger thing and touching someone.
You were doing the dim mock.
He did the Goodnight Superstar.
Yeah, it's the dim mock.
It was kind of a heel character. I would like make fun of like the fat, lazy Americans. Like, you know, I was like the boo guy or whatever.
Yeah, like John Cena would come out and kick your ass.
Yeah. My main guy, though, was Toe Jam the Deranged Plumber.
The Deranged what?
The Deranged Plumber. And I would wear a full Carhartt and a hockey mask and carry around like a big like monkey wrench. And that was my character. His finishing move was the fecal flush.
Oh, I wish it was a plunger.
Which I made that up myself, the fecal flush.
What
and
is it?
And it is not a safe move, and no one should do it. It's where I jump in the air and I land on you with just my ass.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so you have to slap the ground to like pick up some of the impact, but it's not enough.
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was a fucking champion.
Holy shit.
I had to stop, though. Because my mom was getting really concerned.
Were you getting hurt?
Best backyard wrestling reason.
Well, that's okay, though, so we would use, like, yeah, we'd get intense about it. So we had, like, thumbtack matches. Where
you know what that means? You lay
them
on the ground and then throw someone onto
them. McFoley's my boo.
Fair enough. There you go, yeah. So I did a match with barbed wire baseball bats. And I got a few, like, puncture holes on my arms. And my mom saw it, and she got so, like, upset. That I was like, guys, I can't do this anymore. Like, mom's like,
I'm out.
Yeah, but we had a really good storyline.
Dinner's
though.
Ready.
Yeah. We had a really good storyline for me leaving though, because I was like, you know, the backyard champion, and I got betrayed by my manager, a fellow by the name of Destiny. He betrayed me to Rex Creed, who was actually this guy Ryan Murdy, who was the guy who was like taking the classes or whatever. And I was power bombed through a flaming particle board table.
Holy shit.
In my last match, yeah.
The Durkin.
It was on fire. It was, we lit it like it was, and it hurt. I don't know if you've ever been power bombed on a particle board table.
No.
They're dense. It hurts a lot.
It broke, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. It went right in half because it was a long one. Yeah. But what really sucked was, like, I knew I might catch on fire. You know, and I wanted, and I put it out there to the guy who was our safety guy, like, I might catch on fire. Let me burn for a little bit before you hit me, because all he had was this chemical retardant. So you throw this chemical in the fire and it puts it out. But that means he's putting the chemicals on me. So yeah. I was like, give me a second, because I'm going to be, like, hurt. I need to breathe or whatever. The dude got so freaked out, because apparently, like, I just went, like, right up after I got powerbombed, that he just threw all this chemical, like, retardant on me. Fuck. And I got, like, a mouthful of the chemical, like, and a lungful, because the hit, like, knocked the air on me. So, like, while I was gasping, like... That's when he threw it.
I hope years from now, they'll be like one of those like backyard wrestling little like lawyer commercials. Like, if you've ever been powerbombed through a flaming table.
Mesothelioma.
It was intense. Yeah. We had to do some crazy stuff. Like our rings were just like posts with like caution tape around it. So we had to like pretend that we were like propelling off of the ropes.
Were there like mattresses in there? Or
no, we
like
went
that?
Right on the cold hard Jesus ground. Christ. It was so stupid. It was it was such a bad idea. I can't believe no one like got seriously injured.
I know, that's kind of amazing. How old were you?
I think I was like 16, maybe 17. I don't know. Before I started fucking, I'll tell you that. Not that you guys know that from the beginning, but
that reminds me of two funny things. But one of them is like I'd always said that if I were a wrestler, I'd want to be like the rabbi, and I'd have two finishing moves, okay? The Scar of David.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
And the gefilte finish. But I'm a pussy, so I'd never, you know, materialize.
That's amazing.
Someday. We should do it.
I'd be down. I could probably still do a sunset.
Which would be your second character since you're already the $1 million.
That's right. I'd have to just expand my repertoire, which I can do. I'm diverse.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a click in my jaw. Like, you know, you ever get like, you can't open your jaw all the way. I don't know.
Like a TMJ kind of thing?
I've been there.
It was, I don't know. It was rough. I had it. I couldn't open my mouth like super wide.
From being hit?
No, this was, I don't know. It just happened one day when I was a kid. And then during a wrestling match, I accidentally
got fixed.
Well, yes. Dude, I for real clotheslined a dude. Like, I didn't pull it quick enough. So I like really clotheslined him. And like, he went like horizontal in the air and like slammed down. I had to like pretend that I was hurting him for a while so he could like catch his breath. And then he was supposed to hit me with a roundhouse kick to the face, but you're supposed to kick people in the chest. But he was really mad at me, so he hit me right in the jaw and it fixed my jaw. No more clicking after that.
That stuff happens more often than people think.
It's like going uncross-eyed. People that get hit in the head or something like that.
Yeah. But
well, it's really almost like when you have in your car or an electrical appliance that's not working, you hit it, and for whatever reason it works. There's no science behind that. Like,
yeah,
you know, we all have things in our car that we know the right way to, or blowing in a Nintendo game. Like that shouldn't work.
That shit works. Of course it should.
It does work,
because
but I don't know if
all
there's any
the
science
contacts
it.
Get dust on them,
no,
so
you're
blowing it off.
I get it, but it's just, okay, that's maybe a bad example. Like in my car, I have like a window, but one of the windows doesn't close all the time. But if I just close it a certain, it's just weird how you learn these weird fixes. People get hit in the head and all of a sudden they're not retarded anymore or whatever the fuck happens.
Or they are.
Or they become right.
Yeah,
or you play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then you just keep hitting them hoping they'll reverse itself, but they just get more and more retarded.
That reminded me of a story, though, about getting poisoned so when I was first dating Kylie, maybe a year in or so, we're at her parents' house and I got drunk and we ate tacos, okay, at the house. We're both drunk. And I was a little bit, I wouldn't say sloppy, but I was like, you know, unsteady. And I leave the bedroom. We were in the guest room, her childhood bedroom, and I puked in the bathroom and her parents, like, in the hallway. And so she was, like, a little drunk and impatient and frustrated. So in her drunken wisdom, decides to just, like, walk out, go downstairs, get bleach, open the bathroom door that I'm in, throw the bleach in, and then close the door. So now I'm like...
Open or closed?
She closed it.
Okay.
So I'm slowly now, after about five minutes, I'm just like starting to like pass out from the fucking bleach fume. She just threw bleach in.
Well, no, that's what I meant. Like when she threw,
no, she
was
closed,
it like a bottle of
no,
bleach
she just
closed,
like opened the bottle and like and threw the bleach
it.
In.
Oh, that's really dangerous.
Closed the door. And then all of a sudden, really just, like, it was almost like a movie where I'm reaching up with my last gasp of strength toward the door. And I'm like, and then something in her head, she said, clicked. Oh, fuck. I just like...
I just poisoned my
As boyfriend. Drunk as she was, she's like, I think I just locked him in a windowless room with bleach.
Gas chamber.
And then she opened the door as I was like about to die and fucking reach for the knob.
Has she done it since?
Not that I can remember.
Is she German?
Yeah, she acts like it. But that,
what was she trying to? What was she trying to solve by?
She was trying to clean the puke or whatever. She was so drunk. I think she was trying to like disinfect. But to this day, there's still a bleach footprint on the carpet in that hallway because when I stepped out of the bathroom, I had bleach on my foot.
Oh my god!
Still there.
Yeah, no, that's no joke.
She almost killed me.
Yeah, you really can.
She probably wishes she had.
That's. I don't think so. That's how you know love, right there.
That's it. I knew she loved me once. Like I was up for promotion at work, and I got nervous. And I left early because I kind of said, I'll do the interview tomorrow. I'm kind of whatever. I'd eaten a Cobb salad, and I puked it all over myself on the ride home. And I just kind of like stripped down and went to bed, and she cleaned the puke out of my car. I'm like, you know what? This bitch loves me.
You be rabbited.
She cleaned some Cobb salad puke.
That's some of the worst kind, too.
Think about all the things in a Cobb salad.
Exactly.
And then regurgitate it, you know?
Yeah.
Avocado.
Bacon.
Bacon, blue like cheese. Egg, blue cheese. It was just bad. Ham. Ham.
That's yeah, a lot. That's all.
And it was hard-boiled egg.
I love hard-boiled egg.
It's so but coming back
up. Oh, no, you don't want that back up.
No, you don't. No.
Yeah, all of that's fine going down.
That's fucking love.
Yeah, that's true.
Bitch cleans my puke. Whatever.
It really is. I got BJ's the job. Done that for me.
Cleaned your puke or held your hair? Both, right?
We'd only been together for like... a couple months. Yeah, because we started going out.
So you were engaged already.
Practically. Yeah, so not even 2 months. And it was like he throws this big Christmas party over where he used to live, he and all his roommates. And I went and I drank too much because I hadn't played beer pong before. Ooh. And I was drinking hard liquor because I didn't like beer.
Really?
Playing beer pong.
So every cup you got,
yeah.
They got you had to drink it. Wow.
Jeez. Yeah. So I was fucked and I had to go upstairs and I was puking in the bathroom, like in the garbage can, in the toilet, just everywhere. And I had to go like sit out for most of the party. And like he went in the bathroom and like cleaned up my puke.
He kind of had to, I guess, but that is a special man.
Yeah, but it was like lovingly and willingly and like leaving his own party trying to take care of me. And I was like, no, go. Just leave me.
Don't see me like this.
No.
Don't look at
me. I still say stuff like that. I'm like, I don't want you to see me like this. But yeah, no, that's love.
That is love. I mean, like, look, the fucking holding hands and all that shit's easy. It's the fucking like in the trench stuff. It's.
That's what should be on the love is.
That's right. Like, my wife has put a suppository into my ass when I had a hemorrhoid. And yeah. And vice versa. So that's fucking...
But you wouldn't let Tommy go near it with the fucking...
Well, first of all, okay, like the suppository soothed an itch. So there was an actual relief.
Do you know how much of an itch your vodka-soaked tampon would scratch for you?
We'll find a way maybe in this. We're gonna, with Alec here, we could say we're going to try to do the game part two mm-hmm. and have some kind of another Olympics.
It's coming back, folks. This time back. With video.
Video this. We have to. Maybe I'll put something in my ass that day. But you need to also. Like, I mean, you shouldn't just get away scot-free on that.
That's pretty much any day that ends with Y for me. I don't know why that's a punishment.
What if you and me get like a double-sided dildo and just like do that? Would BJ allow
like
that?
Like ass to ass?
Ass to ass.
I don't know that BJ would allow
He'd
that.
He'd say, I know it's pretty, but I didn't take it out for air. for a dream. Ass to ass. Anyway.
But okay. Yeah, no, he's firmly against all penetration involving me in the game.
I wonder if I'd be allowed. Could you guys hear? Sorry, I'm fucking up. Because I even asked Kylie, like I said, I want to get my dick measured on air. And we were supposed to have my friend Will, that's a black dude, on, and I wanted to challenge
him. I did ask BJ about
this. To a dick off. And because I could hang, I think. I haven't Literally. Seen his fucking monkey cock. Well, I didn't mean it like that.
Oh.
But anyway, wow. I haven't seen his cock.
Too soon.
So,
Gorilla joke.
Fucking gorilla glue. All the gorilla glue couldn't put them together again. So, you know gorilla glue? That?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I said to Kylie, like, is it okay if I get my dick measured on the air? And she's like, well, why can't you just do it yourself? I was like, I can't. I don't have an answer for that. You're right. Why can't I just do it myself? Right. I guess
my
I can.
My story's full of holes.
Fuck.
Well, I mean, if you do it by yourself, you can say anything.
Yeah, that's true. It's confirmation. Yeah,
I need someone like an independent auditor.
Yeah.
Right. Checks and balances.
Yeah,
it's what makes this country great.
You're right. And I also wanted to be fully hard, too. Not that I'm saying you have anything to do with that, but I want to be aroused.
I rarely do.
I want to be aroused.
Yeah, because that can make all the difference.
Because I want to know like length and girth? Because I've never really measured my dick the right way, and I want to know.
I've been with guys where it's like, depending on their level of arousal, like the whole dick, it's like a different dick every time.
I don't know what size my dick is per se, but I never thought it was that long. But at work, we have this new box of coffee stirrers, and it says 5.5 inches. And I'm like, I'm way bigger than that fucking coffee stirrer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Shay, what? No, but like, that's the first time that I said, I want to know. I want to know for show.
There's only one way to find out.
Do you have a ruler?
No.
Any ruler apps on anyone's phone? Alec, can you get me hard? You might.
Yeah, well, do you want me to sing?
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
Like the romantic songs are the ones that get you hard. You're such a pansy.
But so ultimately, did you guys
My
just...
My girl, whoa.
Ooh, whoops.
Did you guys just leave it that, or was Kylie cool with that?
With me measuring it?
No, with...
I don't think it's... she just was like, why? And I'm like, yeah, I have no answer. You're right. I guess I don't got to do that. It wasn't like a whole... We don't really have long discussions on like my comedy bullshit. It's
you,
just
you
so
like to
silly.
Leave things open-ended enough that like
I don't
you
have a no.
plausible
There's
deniability.
No firm no in place. So I yeah. can kind of think I can do what I want.
That's most of your encounters with women.
Correct. That's correct.
I didn't hear a firm no before she passed out.
She never said no. I know she would have said yes.
She said yes because I asked, does this rag smell like chloroform?
I just thought she was doing Morse code with her eyes. Turns out she was blinking. Whatever. Her last blinks of fucking of awakeness.
That's her only way of communicating in the wheelchair.
Can you read Morse code?
No. Oh. I mean, yes.
I used to be able to.
Really?
Yeah. I had walkie-talkies when I was a kid, and
oh,
they
I
had
too.
The whole Morse code breakdown.
Yes.
And I used to really do that.
I did too.
Like, you know. And
the Fisher-Price ones had the Morse code, I think. Yeah, I had those.
Do you have ones that really worked, though? I never got a pair that worked.
They were
always, like, shitty.
They worked better. I think that was why, because they worked better for Morse code than for talking.
You're right, though, because my kids have a pair, and they're just, like, spy tech, and they're just shitty.
Yeah, it's basically, like, a very glorified, like, two cans on a string, you know?
I bought a pair at Home Depot a couple years, 4 or 5 years ago, that they were good. The real sort of, like, you know, the ones that janitors walk around the building with, they worked. But eventually, I just have cell phones. I can just text the guy.
Did you guys ever do that cans on the string thing as kids?
Oh, it works.
I did, too. Yeah, I was going to say, that works better.
I think, then what? Walkie-talkies?
Then walkie-talkies, because the walkie-talkies are so crackly. But, like, if you're, like, you know, in as long as you can keep the line taut, that's all that matters.
I used to have, when I was probably 11th grade, we had CB radios, and we'd fuck with the truckers.
Yep.
And the thing is, they can find the signal, and they were outside my house. And
how
I'm like,
they find
they,
it?
They can, like... They can, if you hold down, if you pin it or you hold it down, they can find the signal. I don't exactly know, but I'm like, I have an antenna on my fucking roof. Fuck. And they didn't like find us. I didn't see them on the block, but they were threatening. And you could see like, what's it called? The frequency as they're getting closer. And they were getting fucking closer.
That's horrifying. That's like a movie.
There is a movie like that, in fact. I forget what it is.
Is it Frequency?
I think it's called Frequency.
Oh. I was going to say there's that old scary movie. It was one of the first movies Steven Spielberg ever directed, but it was about like a trucker that just like started following this guy because of some slight or whatever and just like was tormenting him, torturing him, you know.
And then there was Joyride.
Yeah.
Which I never saw.
Which was kind of like
trucker.
A piss poor,
right.
not quite
Watered
remake
down.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like movies like that, I didn't see it. It sounds almost like the... The torture is the fear. Like, he probably didn't do anything to the guy, right? He just made him think the illusion of danger.
Well, that's really, like, the basis of all fear to me is, like, it's the anticipation. It's like when you're getting a shot or anything that you're dreading.
Right.
It's just like...
It's never as bad as you think it's going
to
be.
Yeah, climbing up the hill on the roller coaster. It's like, I just want it to be happening and over so, like, I know...
Getting married.
And divorced. Exactly like that.
I don't know, because like to me, the scariest thing of all things to be scared of is alien abduction. Like, I get really worried
for real?
About it. Yeah, to me, that's
you think about that.
I think if it did happen, it'd be the scariest thing. Not so much because of the buildup, but the reveal when your entire reality shattered. Because then you're like,
yep.
I'm not the crazy weirdo. Like, this is really gonna happen. I'm getting
and no
probed.
One will ever believe you.
Yeah, no one's ever gonna believe me. They're just gonna think he finally went crazy. Well, I'm getting fucking fucked. By alien probes.
Divorced comedian Alec Vanna.
Why do people think that aliens have these anal fixations?
Then you're homeless.
Yeah, then.
Like aliens just want to be in our ass? Like, why is that like the standard? And it is. Of course, the probe, but why is that what aliens do?
Because that's the intergalactic lowest common denominator.
But is that our biggest fear of being ass raped?
Well, I don't think they're there to scare you. It's not like they're joyriding over being like,
we're samples.
Yeah, so they're testing what's up there.
In our ass?
I would imagine they're also testing your mouth orifice, your vagina if you're a girl, like just kind of, and it just happens for a man that's really like...
That's the one hole, our mouth, I guess.
For the most part.
Well, I mean, yeah, the mouth to butt, like in and out, that's like the lowest form of life anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's...
Technically, just... Okay, I'm going to just give you one stupid science fact, just so it's not boring and unlistenable. You know those tubes that you play with where it's like full of squishy, like glittery liquid and like the inside?
Yeah.
Continuous?
Right. The hand job trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your, Mr. Squishy.
Your body is essentially that. And technically, your alimentary tube, which is your mouth to your anus, is like the inside of that is not your body. Because it's like an outside area where it's like you turn into yourself like one of those tubes. So technically, everything that's happening all through the alimentary tract is not in
so
your
then,
body.
So then if you blow me, is it still cheating?
Well, wow. Blowing probably, but I don't, I mean...
That's for, why sodomy is not losing your virginity.
It would be cheating for you, not cheating for her.
Okay.
But...
It's a start.
Analingus? No one's cheating.
Analingus? Eating and cheating.
Yeah.
That's what they say. I saw a guy wearing a hat that said that once.
Yeah, no, that was big...
Was that a big thing?
Yeah. Well, because they came up when the Clinton scandal happened.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
There was all those.
Did he eat her pussy?
If it's oral, it ain't immoral.
Oh, I see.
Eating and cheating, like all these various things where it was like supporting the lack of infidelity with oral sex.
There's a fine line. I mean, cheating, what is cheating? It's the thought of cheating, cheating. What's cheating?
Yeah, you know? There's emotional affairs. There's like all kinds of ways to be unfaithful, right? Like.
Yeah, I would imagine. Who knows, I guess.
I mean, he did still get his dick sucked, though.
He did.
You know what I mean? That's got
to
be.
Then there's these stories coming out about, like, Orgy Island, and he goes on these plane trips to, like, you know, with millionaires to just fuck underage. That just came out. Some underage girl that says Bill Clinton fucked her when she was, like, 15.
I believe it.
Of course.
I've also heard that Bill Clinton has HIV. And
really?
That's why, like, he lost all that weight, and he's so gaunt, and they tried to say, like, you know, he went vegan, but, like...
I never heard
that. There's all kinds of stuff.
I guess rumors happen.
That's the thing.
I heard Magic Johnson has HIV.
I may have heard that one, too.
Get out of here with your devil lies.
You think that's a rumor?
I heard that Magic Johnson grabbed some kid when he fell into his cage. Dragged him around like a fucking rag doll. And they got shot. And we're back.
And we're back on the Loose News Podcast. Fuck, why?
Oh, fine. I won't be racist.
After the N-word incident.
Which one? With Mo?
Which one?
What?
Yeah, that moment.
It's crazy there's a witch one.
That wasn't an incident. He needed that.
We lost a prospective listener.
Oh, that. The military guy.
Whoever that was.
That was like performance art. Like Mo was being annoying. Mo was echoing whatever I said. So I said the N-word and he stopped. It was sort of like a cause and effect. You know what I mean? Like Rex and effect?
Yeah, you weren't specifically saying
it. I wasn't saying it like
he was getting uppity.
It was...
Gotta go back in the yard.
It was the word.
Secondarily, so now, there's also a story that Alec has won a car by being able to keep his hand on a car longest. We have to hear this one.
He can't keep his hands to himself.
No, but I can keep it on a car. I'll tell you that. I don't know. It was like...
For a radio station or something?
It was for a car dealership, Leo Cady's Ford in Warwick, New York. And it was... I have to.
Are you going to sing the jingle now?
I don't know what the jingle is anymore, but anytime I talk about the car, I'm contractually obligated to mention
really?
The place.
Really? That's true? You literally have to mention the
I'm
place?
I'm also contractually obligated not to admit it if I'm asked about it. So it could be true. It might not be. But I did win the car.
From holding on the car longest?
Yeah.
How many hours?
It was 25.
Holy
and
shit.
And what happened was...
No peeing?
All right, there were a couple regular scheduled bathroom breaks.
For everybody.
Yeah. Okay. And then everyone got 2 tickets for a 5-minute break. And then after that's it.
25, that's still crazy. How many times did you pee in the 25 hours, do you think?
Probably the 4 times that I was able to do it.
Did you have to shit?
I don't remember. I don't think I did. And if I did, it must have been real fast because... I take lengthy poos.
Like, so you weren't holding it in, like suffering or whatever.
No, well, at first it wasn't that bad because you're just putting your hand on it. Once it got to like the 20th hour, I think everyone wanted to go home, so they started having us do stuff like lift one arm over your head, and then if you do that for like 5 minutes, it's brutal. So yeah. it was getting intense, and then finally they're like, "These people aren't stopping. Let's just do a raffle."
Just start kicking them.
Yeah. Oh, so you got lucky.
So there were 11 people left, and I won the raffle.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize that part.
I thought you outwilled them. What you caught? How many started in this contest?
Like 30, maybe?
And you got down to 11.
Yeah, yeah. So people would have kept going. There was this dude that was next to me. He was this like old, like silver fox with like a handlebar mustache. And I was like, this dude's got it. Like, this man is stone. Nothing's going to get to him.
This is the most interesting man in the mall.
Yeah. And then they had the raffle. And I was like, I have a chance. And then I won it.
How much longer do you think you had in you?
Like minutes.
You were almost tapped out.
Dude, I was fucked. I was eating bananas to try to not like, to keep potassium in my body, to try to like not tense up. It was horrible.
You're trying to conjure your inner David Blaine.
Yeah, I did. I was the original mind freak.
I think that was Chris Angel.
What kind of car was
he
it?
Stole my name. It was a Ford Focus.
What year? Like a 90s?
I think it was a 2001, and then the contest was in like 2002 or 2003.
Ford Focus, Jesus Christ.
So I had that
still
for a while.
Free fucking car.
Yeah, totally free. Well, I had to pay the taxes.
It's a brand new car, like a new car.
It had 30,000 miles on it.
What?
It was.
That is not a new car.
All right, hey, whatever. You know what
I'll
I mean?
I'll take it.
Granted, it's not brand new.
How much were the taxes?
They,
if you don't mind me asking.
Well, I paid like $600. What they did was they said that it was like in much poorer condition than it was, because then you can mess with the tax.
Yeah.
So, or maybe they didn't do that.
The Kelley Blue Book value.
Is that illegal? I don't know. Well, if it's illegal, they
didn't
do it.
They did not do that.
But if it is legal, they might have done it. So... Yeah, I pay taxes.
We all pay taxes.
Yeah.
I pay taxes. I get a lot back, but I do pay in.
I'm picturing them doing that Matilda thing with like the reverse.
Never seen like, it. Electric. Is that a movie?
You never saw Matilda?
I think I read the book.
Matilda was the British Bulldog's dog in wrestling. That's what I know Matilda as.
Oh. Danny DeVito in that movie, he's like the awful dad in Matilda. I think
happened
in the book.
They're
and
putting back the odometer.
Yeah.
My family has done that before they went digital. It was easier to go in between inspections and, you know, run it back, because it would save. If my parents had leases, they had to get the fucking odometer. My lease now, I'm fucked.
You just gotta put in reverse and start going.
I wish it were that simple. That'd be amazing.
Just go around your block for 4 days.
Just mowing down kids in reverse.
Every time when I leave my kids, I take them home from daycare once or twice a week. I always pretend that I've killed either one of the dogs or one of the kids that are in the daycare. And they're starting to finally, they get it now, the joke. But
convince your children
like,
of this
boom,
or
boom.
The daycare
no, my,
people?
No, my kids. Like, while we're driving out of we're backing out of the driveway, I pretend I hit one of the dogs or one of the kids.
They're going to be super interesting adults. Child, those kind of early childhood traumas where your parents
I don't think
just
it was
teach
trauma.
You through
they,
their own
yeah,
shittiness.
They had
that
they,
you can't
the,
trust
the,
anything.
The developmental. Yeah. That's when you're learning what life is.
I mean, can you guys imagine being raised by me? It can't be good. It cannot be good.
I was raised by wolves pretty much.
Right.
Like, I think my dad was not all that unsimilar to you in
really?
Certain ways. And like, So
your dad was like a wild man?
Yeah. Yeah, and like all like kind of like a lot of the relatives and family friends, like they were all like just like kooky, weird, like
on both sides.
Yeah, in whatever way, like they were either like new agey or just like free spirited or old druggy hippies. So it was like I was kind of raised in that weird way where people would just fuck with you for their own amusement.
Right, right, right.
Yeah,
and then like in the end, it kind of makes you stronger because it didn't kill you, but
you're just worried that everyone's lying to you all the time. Yeah,
right.
But like you can't relax and grind your teeth at night, kind of thing.
My nephews, the one that can talk, the other one's gonna start talking soon. But I have a deal with my family to only refer to me as the captain
favorite.
Or yes. Uncle Captain.
Uncle Captain.
Yeah. So my nephew actually does call me Uncle Captain, and when the other one, Corbin Dallas, is his name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to make a great porn star.
Oh, maybe. He's a handsome guy. He's got those deep dish dimples. But
how's his baby dick?
I don't know. I don't change them.
Okay.
The second they smell or anything, I just hand them over to someone else. Anyone
tell
else.
A lot early on.
Anyone else. But, yeah, I have him call me Uncle Captain. And the reason I do it is because one day they're going to be like, what are you the captain of? And I'm going to be able to tell him nothing. I've been lying to you your whole life.
You've been bamboozled. There's no Santa Claus. There's no God.
Yeah, nothing that you thought was sacred is real.
None of it.
Anyway, you want to like repair this relationship and play catch? You know what I mean? Like something, I don't know. It's going to be the longest running prank.
So you want to do a puzzle?
These are your sister's kids?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My sister has a kid that he thinks I'm weird as fuck, which I am, but like he was calling me Uncle Ian. I'm like, please, just Ian. Like, let's just cut the fucking shit. Who are we kidding here? You know what I mean?
Uncle Ian is my uncle.
Right. Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
My nephew actually did call me Alec one time, and I got so offended. Like, I got home, and he, like, pops up from the living room. He looks, and he's like, oh, it's just Alec. And then goes back. And at first, I was like, oh, the rejection that it's just me. It's not exciting. And then the, how dare you call me something other than Captain? Like, what's going on? And then I thought about it. That means every time I come home, there's someone from my family that just looks at the door and goes, oh, it's just Alec.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They're like, it could have
been
parrots.
An intruder. It could have been something horrible, but it's just, oh, God, why couldn't it have been a murderer?
It also could have been better, but by far.
That's why my little nieces and nephews, when they were young, every time that I showed up, they'd be like, this worthless cunt. Like, Mom,
I don't command any respect. I mean, I just fuck with them, too. I don't know how to take things seriously. So the kid thinks I'm a fucking psychopath, that my kids know I am. This kid's like, oh, shit, how are you doing this? He's like 7. He's like, how the fuck are you doing this to my kids? You know, they've done it. They've had no choice.
I'm bad with kids in that, like, just like adults, I have this thing where, like, I can't be, like, assertive and I just need them to like me. So, like, it usually starts out strong and they all, like, love me, but then it slowly kind of, like, devolves into, like, a Lord of the Flies situation where it's, like, now I'm, like, their captive and, like, I've lost all control of the situation. And it's always just one of those things. And I feel the same way in most social situations, but it just happens faster with children and in a more extreme way.
That's why you got to hit them. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
They frown on hitting that kids? Now.
No, no. I mean, the worst is not like being around kids. They feel like that maybe know they they're not going to get hit.
And you can't hit
but
them.
But it's not your kids, so yeah. It's like, oh, I can't hit you. But honestly, like, you should get hit right now.
And then you get drunk enough to tell the parent. Like,
why don't you hit your kids?
Listen. You probably should hit them a little more.
I'm not like, I don't want to fuck my kids up, but like kids should get like little smacks or pushes. Or I mean, I've shoved my kids. Like, you know, what the fuck? I've kind of pushed their shoulder a little bit. I've never like struck them.
Yeah.
I've never spanked them. But like kids should have some kind of fear.
Yeah. You just got to drag them like a gorilla.
Right.
You know?
You know, I don't remember my mom ever hitting me. But I remember when I was little, like, if I was going to do something really stupid or something I'd get in trouble for, like, I'd be like, if I do this, she's going to hit me. Like, mm-hmm. I could almost feel the hand hovering. Yeah. And I think it's because she just hit me when I was little.
One time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so I think everyone
like
should
like in the prison yard, just the one fucking
time.
You only
need it, like, once or twice just to know that, like, there's that line that if I cross it, this happens. And just, I know this is, like, current. It'll probably be old by the time this podcast comes out. But, like, the gorilla thing, I'm like, what really bothers me is I've seen moms in Walmart and Target like rip their kids around way worse than that. Like, you know, nobody's tranking them or shooting them. Like, you know, who's the real enemy here?
But I mean, really though, there was no alternative. Cause if a grown up or a grown person would have gone in there, that the gorilla might have snapped, right? To protect the kid almost. And if they tranked him, they were saying it might set him off and take 10 minutes to work and he might snap. So they kind of had to kill that gorilla.
I understand that. It's just so frustrating.
It's so
shitty. Especially because, like, when you look at the video, in my mind, you can really see, like, the gorilla wasn't being aggressive.
Right.
It only was, like, dragging the kid around more like the way it would drag its own baby around if people were screaming like that.
But, I mean...
But what can you do at that point?
Male gorillas will kill like smaller gorillas if they think something's going on. You know what I mean? Like they will,
they'll do it. But they're not chimps. They usually like drive one another off. They very rarely come to blows with one another or humans or anything else. They're very peaceful creatures.
But
a chimp is a whole other story.
But it's not even like the dragging and it's what was the next move because someone had to get that kid out.
Exactly.
And the kid was too young to like communicate with or send a fucking rope. What I don't know what could have been done.
It just feels
What if the kid did something that would set the gorilla off?
Right.
Like, you can't plan
the next move. The next move would likely have set off that gorilla. The next move.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
It sucks. It's just a frustrating accident that Like people want to, that we were saying, people were talking before the mic tonight, people want to place blame. Like, okay, yeah, the mother, I'm a parent, you're a parent. Maybe I've lost track of my kid for 5 seconds. Not like that. Like, I'm also nuts, and I'm very overbearing.
Me too. I never let go. I don't.
I'm just trying to, like, you know, in some way empathize. And I guess, look, she might have been a bad mother, bad father. Well, who knows? But like, shit does. Every once in a while, something happens that you cannot account for. Like, could they have designed that enclosure better?
That I think that's the biggest thing is didn't they make? If you know, there's going to be kids,
right?
And you know that, like, out of every 5 kids, like, 4 of them are assholes.
Right.
So, like, if you're going to have that many asshole kids around, aren't you going to make it so that the asshole kids can't fuck with the gorillas?
Right.
Yeah. Why not design the enclosures, like, the way that the Bronx Zoo does them, where it's, like, you're always on ground level, kind of eye to eye through glass. You know, like, there's nothing you're going to fall down into, no matter how hard you try.
Right.
I blame Ohio.
Don't we all?
It just sucks.
About everything.
It just sucks. But then there's people like that are animal activists that just can't wait to scream. Like, you don't even know what happened. I mean, now the videos are coming out and more, I guess, unedited versions. But people just, like, you can't just read a news story without having some kind of passionate fucking feeling. Just read the story, get the facts, and then your life is still fine. Right? I mean, I get it, but what do you want done? You want to change fucking... Why don't we have hologram zoos now? No more zoos. My kids are going to love hologram zoos someday.
That would be kind of ideal.
You don't need it. You don't need zoos.
Yeah, no. We have such good graphics now.
Yeah, right. But I mean, there are
an IMAX movie or something.
There's breeding and rehabilitation programs where it's like when you recover these animals from some, like, drug lord's private zoo that gets raided, this isn't an animal that's equipped to go back in the wild. What do you do with it? You know, so that's the basis of a lot of the better zoos. And then creatures that are endangered, they do breeding programs and kind of build it back up. So there's good that's being done, but it's kind of like a zoo has to be done just a certain way to be morally kind of accountable, I think.
And they're really, at the end of the day, they're a business.
Yeah.
So there's always that just...
Well, and there's like, and since they are a business, what were they thinking? Like, you know, if we kill this gorilla, we might like look shitty to some people, but if this gorilla kills a kid,
we're done. We're closed.
Yeah. No one's coming.
You're closing down. Exactly.
No one's coming here. So
it just doesn't seem like there was another option. That gorilla kind of.
Well, you can't. Well, you know, you can't take a chance on it. Right. Like people say, like, you know, yeah. I mean, like, it didn't seem like it was gonna hurt anybody. It didn't seem like all this stuff going on. But like, it's
like risk reward.
Not a person.
Risk reward.
Well, like, still,
what
like,
if it, yeah. if it did? You're fucked.
What are they gonna do at the end of King Kong? You know, the thing's up on top of the Empire State Building. Clearly, it has the power and capacity.
And
to
King
kill.
Kong was not threatening that woman at all. He loved that
no,
woman.
No, but he had
right. She killed, was in danger, though.
Killed
right.
or maimed well, countless people along the way. But it's still right. sad right. because this animal didn't ask for
There's
any
no,
of this.
Right, exactly.
We were the villain on that. For
no doubt.
King
yeah.
Kong away. And I
yeah, apologize.
King
Kong was brought
King Kong's
for
family.
Some, like, it was like a sideshow or something, right? And
yeah.
That, right, so whatever. Fucking bullshit.
I just have, gorillas are my favorite animals. So
are
I
they?
They are.
Oh, yep. So this story hit home with you.
Yes. Yes.
I've read Gorillas in the Mist.
Really?
You read Gorillas in yeah. the Mist.
I've heard the Lynch Mob school. Song.
Wow. Alec Vanacore.
That's one of my all-time favorite gangster rap songs is Gorillas, G-U-E, you know, Gorillas in the Mist by the Lynch Mob.
That's a little
and
different.
And my kids love that song. My daughter loves gangster rap. But I mean, but again, so okay, if you love Gorillas, obviously you realize there was, what else could have happened? There's no other outcome. The kid fucked up, the parent fucked up, and then the gorilla had to die.
Did anyone try to throw bananas? Did anyone try to throw bananas to distract?
I feel like there must be trank guns that are strong enough
so
that,
big.
That can knock something out quicker than...
You probably shit in your purse, that would be quicker.
Be, right?
Like, it'd have to be instant, though, because if you got hit and it hurt and it got mad, it might just freaking
right.
throw one of those ham hands down and crush that. It was Maybe probably a jerk kid.
In,
you know what I mean?
Mind,
that kid's probably wasn't
when
jerk,
When you're
though.
Shooting it with a gun, you could miss... You know, the thing had the kid between its legs.
Right.
You know, it could have moved and kind of had the kid and flung it in front of it, turning at just the wrong moment. Or when you shoot it, the whole 600-pound gorilla could go down on top of the kid. So to me, the risk in tranking it is practically the same in that respect.
Right. Plus, again, nothing's instant. So it's not going to – that shot did take it out. It died. So if you trank the thing, it's gonna, you don't know what the next move is. It could easily have just crushed that kid.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying with the shooting off. By shooting it, you could have the same outcome.
Well, then like, I think the actual most sound logical would scare, thing right? would have been to like get send the in. Endangered white rhino and the next pen over to fight the gorilla.
Create Jumanji up in that bitch.
Yeah, have them wrestle. It'd
be like one of those Tekken face-offs.
Yeah. And then while they're distracted, run in and get the kid.
Yeah.
Get Super Mario to fucking bounce off barrels of shit.
In a perfect world.
Yeah, I wish.
It just sucks.
It does.
Sometimes bad things just happen. You know, I mean, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, the zoo is probably at fault. There's no way that you should have been able to jump into that shit.
Agreed. Agreed.
It was like an endangered ape too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Endangered.
Silverbacks are endangered.
More danger than it knew.
Yeah,
they're slightly more endangered
that's
now.
That's what happens. He brought him to the big city. He got in with the wrong crowd.
Right. Yep.
Gun violence.
Gun violence.
You want to take one more break before we
one
wrap
more
up?
Break? We'll come back and wrap it up. It's been fun. Right. Hold on.
And we're back. So we got to talking about aliens over the break a little bit, and Alec was just going to share an experience he had.
All right. Well, I didn't fully experience it, but I witnessed someone else experiencing it. I was coming back from an open mic in Nyack Olives, the Pearl of Nyack. If you ever want to go. Do you guys do advertising for things on here? No.
Not really.
Stay clear
you
of
can.
It.
Right.
We don't. Well, we don't care.
It's fine. All right. Well, I mean, it's an open mic that goes on every Monday in Nyack Olives. You should check it out. But anyway, so we're coming back from it, and we're driving Stav Jeebus out, who's right now working on documentaries about swords and the people that make them. But on the way to drop him off, we're at a stoplight, and Ryan's like, do you see that green light? And we look up, and the light turns green, so we thought he's just fucking around. But then, like, he starts, like, driving off course, trying to, like, follow where he thought this green light went. He said he saw, like, a big green orb in the sky go crash somewhere. So then we, like, drive around Nyack trying to find it, you know?
God.
Then we can't find it. We bring Stav home. The next day, Stav sends out a link that there was some kind of, like, green ball that was seen... That,
yeah.
Like over like in like Massachusetts and shit, like seen all the way down by like Jersey.
Unexplainable.
I don't know if they explained it. I was.
Did it crash? I mean, did something hit ground? Or?
I guess it must have. You know, but I mean, I don't know if that's aliens or just a thing that fell. You know what I mean,
maybe
who
we're
knows?
At the Truman Show. Maybe it's a fucking boom mic or something or a light.
That's true. You've never seen anything unexplainable like that.
I've seen a lot of weird shit. Nothing that's that sort of overtly, you know, odd. Nothing that's tangible. You seem like you've seen some shit.
Yeah, I've seen like a few things. There was probably the weirdest ones were maybe like 5 years ago. There was this weird storm cloud that like had the lightning inside of it. And it was kind of like... above my house, and it was isolated almost, and I'm looking at it and I see this weird metallic thing kind of like peek over the edge of it and then go back, and I was like, what? And so I called like my dad and my then boyfriend over, and we're watching, and it did it like four more times,
and other people saw it.
Yeah. And so there were a few things like that, or just like, again, metallic objects, even in the, you know, daytime out, you know, and it's just kind of like hovering there and like going up and going down. And then like all of a sudden it'll just like, boom, like take off, disappear. So I've seen weird stuff that like I couldn't explain, but I've never seen like an alien.
To your knowledge, on that night, were you anally probed?
Not to my knowledge, or not by the aliens, at least.
All right.
That doesn't sound very convincing.
No, I don't think I've ever been abducted that I can remember. I mean, who knows?
Listen, I've never even fucking...
Less, you don't like, think about it? You're not worried about it?
Not really. I'm more worried about just the actual human mortality and dying
day-to-day.
In general. Yeah, day to day, just like not dying today. But I'd like to think... that if there, I kind of think there's something out there, but if there were, I'd like to think it wasn't a threat.
Yeah, like it's not traveling or wanting anything to do with us.
Or if it is, it's more just like peaceful, like more evolved than us, and hopefully you know, just maybe cohabitate this, you know, galaxy, whatever the fuck we're in. We're in a galaxy, right?
Yeah, we're in all of it, really.
Yeah, so whatever. But
we're in
anything bigger than the planet
within,
we're in.
Yeah. Well, so wait, what constitutes a planet, though? I'm not sure. I'm joking. But that's... I don't think about it at all, and if I do, I'm not scared of it. So you actually do have a fear of alien life.
Well, yeah, because I don't think they'd be nice.
You think they'd fuck you up?
They will. They
treat us like subjects.
Yeah, or they'd eat us. We eat all sorts of shit.
Right.
You know
we deserve it.
We could be. We could be.
But we deserve it though. Like, we really should be eaten by something.
And if you were gonna pick, if you had a whole planet of human beings, you're gonna eat. Like, where would you? You wouldn't go to like Somalia. You don't want those little drumsticks.
No, you want some
like,
well-fed
motherfuckers.
You want some
well-fed American USDA Prime.
They do.
I got really high once a long time ago and came up with a theory about what the aliens that people purport to see are. And what makes the most sense to me, because they're like our size, you know, they have these kind of like slightly humanoid features. I'm like, what if it's like us from the distant, distant, distant future? And that's what we've evolved to look like. And we don't even like live on this planet anymore. And that's like a time machine that they're traveling in to come back and like intervene with things. Because what are the odds that on a different planet, who knows where, they'd look at so similar and be like of a similar size like that?
You know, that's not that much more ridiculous than 30 years ago describing the internet.
Yeah.
As it is now.
Yeah,
so whatever, that sounds absurd. However, maybe I'm saying
most
like,
of what I say does.
No, but like I said, the internet or whatever we have now, a fax machine, that still fucking blows my mind.
Yeah, if you went back a few hundred years, they'd hang you
right
for sorcery, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know. I just try and stay open-minded, and like I don't have any answers, but I sometimes come up with...
I just hope I'm alive to find out, because it's so... I want to see how this book ends, you know?
I'd rather be dead.
Really?
Yeah, I want to die thinking there aren't aliens waiting to like eat me.
You're fixated on the eating part.
But you could find out that that's true, and then you could die like at peace, knowing that you were right and like validated.
I'd rather just like live, and then right when I die, aliens come out. Like right the day after, they come out and they're like, "Yeah, we're here. We're gonna enslave." Because I don't want to have to. Because you're gonna have to fight back, right? Like an Independence Day
well,
fight back
strong
or whatever.
People, Will, not
what about
us.
You just hope that that doesn't happen at all? Like, why is it like once I die, you know, fuck the rest of you?
I guess you're right. It's kind of me. It's kind of be like, I don't want this horrible thing to happen to me, but I specifically want it to happen to future generations.
I hope they show up the next day, so everyone's like, I wish Alec were here. He'd know what to do.
Well, because then even though I'm dead, I still get that validation. Like, yeah, he was right.
He was right.
He was right all along.
Unless there's no consciousness after death, in which case, like, you'd just die not knowing anything.
But his friends and family would know.
I guess.
That's what he's saying. Like, he would...
But what does that mean to you, then?
Nothing. I'm not fighting back, I'll tell you that.
No, you're just gonna.
What
get
am I gonna do? I mean, how are you gonna fight an alien?
I don't know, but you have to do it. It's gonna be hard.
I guess I have
glasses
kids.
Of water and baseball bats. Have you guys not seen?
I
Signs?
Wish. I wish those are the best movies when they just get when we treat them like Native Americans and just give them smallpox.
Yep,
that's the best. Send those aliens blankets.
Yep.
I don't think I've seen
that's
any
what we
of those movies.
Do with
you
all
War
aliens?
Of the
Worlds, no, like the new one.
Wait, when you say new, you're talking about the one in the 80s, or are you talking?
No,
about
was
like,
there one like two,
oh,
3 years
was,
ago? I didn't
was.
See that.
Which one?
There was one with, like, was it
Tom
Cruise?
War of the Worlds.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. That was a good one.
I didn't see Independence Day.
What?
I don't see, there's a lot of movies that are just, you know that movie sucks. Come on.
No, I love that movie.
Because you're afraid of that
time.
Happening. That's why.
They kick those aliens' ass. That's what it is. And
is
then
Jeff
they
Goldblum
don't
in that?
Of course.
Me. And there's a sequel coming out soon.
Yeah.
Maybe this year.
With Jeff Goldblum.
Right. I always thought about that. Like, how do you leave it there? Because, like, the motherships are dead, but the aliens are still on your planet.
So they were still there.
Yeah, because the ships crashed, but people are still, like, the aliens are still there. And they're still going to be dicks.
So that's how this next one starts? Where they're
no,
still...
it's like they disappear for years and then come back again because they like regrouped and came up with a new game plan.
So these aliens have like an awareness? Man, and like they were like...
Well, they have to get there.
And they blew up the White House. That's in the commercial. I saw that part.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah, it's gone.
And all these... And the president was black, right?
No,
Will Smith was.
No, it was...
He was
Bill Pullman.
Oh, okay.
He's pretty white.
Because all these like natural disaster movies, the president's always black.
Are you think like
Deep
Fifth
Impact
Element? And... Fifth Element, the president was black.
Goddamn Spielberg. Well, I know we do. Actually, our president is black. Half. No one acknowledges that it's half black. It's not even black.
It depends on if you're an optimist or a pessimist.
It might as well be white. It might as well be white because it's the same amount.
His black parent left him. Like, he was raised by a white woman, right? Whatever. Yeah.
No, you're right.
But he's black. He's black.
Yeah.
You put that red sock in the whitewash and it's all pink now. No, it's red. No, it's pink.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, and honestly, like, that's kind of shitty that the first black president that white people let be president was a half white president.
We like to dip our toe in the water first.
I can say, like, because I can still go back and say, no, there was never a black president.
Yeah. If he does well, then we call him half white.
Yeah.
It's dismissive. He's not a black man. He's not a white man. He's a biracial man.
He's it's a
identifying,
perfect man.
It's identifying by color as opposed to any more.
Yeah, he's just an American, guys.
He's an American, we
think.
He's
just an American.
We think.
He's just a Hawaiian.
Well, this has been the Loose News Podcast.
It certainly has.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Anything in closing?
If you do see an alien, you're going to want to get away from it. Because it's going to rape you or eat you. Or make you... No, it's going to eat you or rape you.